Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a South Donegal deputy has warned an indefinite lockdown is on the cards unless Ireland can secure more doses of vaccine. Meanwhile, questions are being asked as to why the St Colmkill village in Clonmany is being excluded from the initial vaccine rollout. The Taoiseach has accused Sinn Féin of reheating an old political controversy and that the party's dull time will be better used by airing other issues. And there are calls for additional ports to be considered as designated stops for UK-registered fishing vessels in Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15, followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. First in news though, the Taoiseach has said the country is nowhere near where it needs to be to ease level 5 restrictions. Leo Varadkar has said it's still possible that schools and more construction sites will be able to reopen in February. The government is expected to extend the level 5 restrictions until at least the end of February next week. The chairman of the Irish Medical Organisation's GP committee says the third wave of COVID-19 is receding. But Donegal Dr Dennis McCauley says the number of cases in vulnerable settings remains a concern.
The third surge has been like a spring tide. It's sort of come in, given an actual deluge of that. It seems the tide seems to be receding, but there still seems to be flooding in the nursing homes and in the hospitals. All the numbers are down. We would normally, before the surge, would have had 5 to 10 positives per week. We had 44 for the last 2 weeks. I think we'll be just about 30 this week, so it is receding.
Well, the South Donegal TD has warned an indefinite lockdown is on the cards unless Ireland can secure more doses of vaccine. Mark McSharry has urged his government colleagues to break the EU purchase system and try to get more doses directly from the companies involved. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly has said the government plans to offer everyone a vaccine by September. But his party colleague Mark McSharry doesn't think that can work on the current number of doses we have.
So I want us to do the old-fashioned, lift the phone, secure supplies, and if they want €70 a dose, give it to them. Otherwise, you're looking forward to a fourth wave, an indefinite lockdown, and that is no good to any of us.
The HSE has confirmed that residential facilities similar to St Colmkill Village, Clonmany, have been flagged to the National Task Force and will be prioritised in the COVID vaccine rollout very shortly. Questions have been raised as to why the facility is being excluded from the initial vaccine rollout. Staff in the setting are solely made up of caregivers, a reason cited as to why it's being excluded from the first phase of the job, despite the facility being part-funded by the HSE. Cahill, whose elderly father is currently living in the facility, told Today's 9 till noon show that the decision not to administer the vaccine at the centre is in contrary to guidelines.
Fortunately, it was confirmed last night, yesterday evening, by email. I was speaking to the manager. I was, I suppose I was putting a pressure down there to find out the reason why there's different stories coming out. We're being fed, like, they're doing their best, but we've been fed different information. And the official reason was given to them yesterday evening to pass on to the families why Mr. McFarlane and the rest of the patients won't be receiving the vaccination. And it is simply that it is not a nurse-led residential home. So in other words, there is no nurses there. It is just carers there. But that doesn't mean it's any less care. The care is equal to any other home setting. But I mean, on the HSE website, it clearly says people over 65 who live in long-term care facilities are the first priority group to get the COVID-19 vaccine. This is because they have a greater risk of serious illness if they get COVID-19. If we look at the stats released this morning by the HSE, 58% of all hospitalizations are aged over 65. Everybody in this unit is over 70, but we must remember something about this unit now today. They're different to everybody else because they are more at risk, because everybody else is, by this Sunday will have the first vaccination. So these people now are actually beyond priority group number one.
And Garda Síochána, the HSE and Donegal County Council are appealing to people in the county to stay home and stay safe as we continue to drive COVID-19 down. The three agencies, as part of the Northwestern Major Emergency Management Group, are reminding the public to do what you can to help save lives. Catherine Gaffney has more.
In the last 14 days, up to January the 19th, 1,894 new cases were confirmed in Donegal, with the 14-day incidence rate standing at 1,189.8 per 100,000. Dr. Anthony Breslin, Director of Public Health North West, says while cases are beginning to decrease, they are doing so more slowly than they would like. He's warning the disease can be serious to all ages. Meanwhile, Sean Murphy, General Manager of Letterkenny University Hospital, says COVID-19 ICU and hospitalisation numbers are of critical concern in light of the ongoing number of cases being diagnosed in the community. And Gardaí Síochána Conaill is reminding the public that it continues to conduct static and mobile checkpoints, as well as high visibility patrolling focused on non-essential travel. The Chief Executive of Donegal County Council, John McLaughlin, is urging everyone to stick with the well-known public health measures that have proven to work before.
In the north, 732 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed and 21 additional deaths. 16 of the deaths took place in the space of 24 hours. There are 806 people in hospital with the virus, which includes 70 in intensive care. The total number of cases in the north now stands at 98,351. The Taoiseach has accused Sinn Féin of reheating an old political controversy and that the party's dull time would be better used by airing other issues. The release of internal Department of Health emails has shone the light again on last year's controversy involving Leo Varadkar leaking a GP contract to his friend Dr. Matthew Tuchel in April 2019. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty claims the new documents show that the Taoiseach was sharing a confidential document with Dr. O'Toole while the Minister for Health himself couldn't get access to the document. In the heated exchange in the Dáil, Leo Varadkar told Deputy Doherty that the issue has been well dealt with.
What you're trying to do today is trying to reheat an old political controversy, largely just going back over old ground. And you could be talking about COVID and the battle against the virus and the pandemic. You could be asking me about getting schools reopening. You could be asking me about the economic crisis and the people who've lost their jobs or may lose their businesses. And it says a lot about your priorities as a person and as a party that you're trying to go on this line of attack again on an issue that was dealt with in November. I made three public statements at the time on the matter, answered questions as best I could based on my knowledge and recollection of events that happened 2 years ago. And I can only answer for myself. I can't answer for other people. It's up to you to either accept my explanations or reject them. That's your choice. But the House heard about this and voted on this already last November. For clarity, the document that I gave Dr. O'Toole was the April 3rd version. I got it from the Department of Health. Asked Minister Harris for a version of it. He gave it to me. I didn't retain that. I then asked my advisor, my special advisor who looked after health issues for me, to go and get a copy of it again. She already had a copy. That's the copy that I gave Dr. O'Toole. We released that on FOI already. You have that. You know the differences that are between that document and the final document as published. You went to the trouble last November of counting them. So there's no dispute then or now that there were differences, but there were minor ones.
Deputy Doherty, in response, accused Leo Varadkar of changing his story.
You've now changed your story again. You told the Dáil that you asked your PA to request the document from the Department of Health. You now say that you asked your PA for it and she already had a copy. So you never got it from the Department of Health. Why are you changing your story? Is it because now we can prove that there's no record whatsoever of you getting the document from the Department of Health, you requesting it or receiving it? The Freedom of Information request shows clearly that your defence of your actions lay now in tatters. You suggested to this House that this was part of a government strategy. It is very clear that it was not a government strategy. It is very clear from the communications that were released 2 months later that this would have been detrimental to the discussions, a serious breach of trust, and that this document was confidential. It is also clear, as you sat in your office and put this contract to the post to the rival organisation of the IMO, an organisation which wanted to publish this and undermine the IMO, that at the same time Minister Harris was requesting access to the document and he was being refused access. And we can prove all of that again. So do you accept that you have now changed your story in relation to how you got the second version of the document? And can you explain why you're changing your story once again?
But the Taoiseach just said the then Minister for Health got the draft that was available on the day.
Just to be clear, on the 17th of April, the Minister of Health requested the current draft, so a later or more up-to-date draft, presumably, appreciating that there were ongoing tweaks.
Taoiseach, we're over
current
time.
Current draft,
thank you.
Ongoing tweaks. He got it the day he requested it.
Thank you. I'm moving on, Taoiseach.
There are calls for additional ports to be considered as designated stops for UK-registered fishing vessels in Donegal. Minister Charlie McConlow confirmed earlier this week that fishermen will be able to land their catch in a total of four ports in the county from February the 1st. But local priest Father John Joe Duffy, who has a strong fishing background, believes the measures don't go far enough to ensure the safety of those affected. He's warning that fishermen will continue to face perilous conditions and long journeys to the ports. Father John Joe Duffy wants fishermen to be granted a transitional licence so they can dock at their usual ports as an interim measure.
This does not satisfy the fishermen. Many of them who will still have to travel 6 to 7 hours to their nearest port from the home ports that they were used to landing. It's a very small window of opportunity. It gives them 6 hours to land, and it doesn't allow their fish to be brought to the markets in many instances.
Do you foresee additional ports being allocated, or will this be the current state of play for the foreseeable?
I would like to see additional ports being at it, but what I am now calling on the minister is to issue these fishermen with a transitionary licence, a non-transferable transitionary licence, which would satisfy them in the circumstances in which they have been thrown into by the department, because they are being treated as second-class citizens at the moment. The department decision is putting their lives at serious risk and in serious danger, and that is totally unacceptable.
You have described the announcement made this week by the Marine Minister Charlie McConlow as a last-minute dot-com decision.
Yes, the Department of the Marine were asked by the European Commission on the 17th of August to designate ports. They failed to do so, other than the two ports that had already been designated in the country, and they failed to take into any consideration the needs of these small fishermen who are now being forced to take a very perilous journey along the Donegal coastline, tight into the coastline, and should they break down, their boats will be on the rocks in no time at all, and lives will be lost if the minister and the department don't step up to the mark and issue these fishermen with a satisfactory solution.
Well, speaking today, the Agriculture Minister says the Brexit deal has been completely inequitable for Irish fisheries. On average, the sector will lose around 15% of its current quota by 2025, with a large amount to go this year. Minister Charlie McConlow says it's out of step with what other countries have had to give back.
The quota transfers required of Ireland are clearly disproportionate, and the outcome is inequitable in terms of burden sharing. The analysis that my experts have undertaken, and which is published on the government website, clearly demonstrates this inequitable burden placed on Ireland.
Sport in Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for home workouts at michaelmurphysports.ie with free nationwide delivery.
Time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with some sad news this evening. And Gerry Kiernan has died at the age of 67. The Kerry native represented Ireland at the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, where he finished ninth in the marathon. He won the Dublin Marathon twice in 1982 and then 10 years later in 1992. On the opening of the Letterkenny Athletic Track in 1980, Kiernan finished second in the 3,000 metres behind Eamon Coughlan, but would return 12 months later to win the event. In recent years, Kiernan was a prominent athletics pundit and also trained the likes of Kieran McGeehan and Mark Travers. In golf, Rory McIlroy leads at the end of the opening day of the Abu Dhabi Championship. The world number 6 shot a blemish-free 8 under par 64 and is a shot clear of Tyrrell Hatton. Padraig Harrington opened with a 2 under par round of 70. Play was suspended for the day with Shane Lowry at 4 over with 7 to play. He carded a triple bogey at the 9th, while Graeme McDowell is 1 under with 7 holes remaining. As for the leader, McIlroy, he was pleased with his putting today.
A lot of it was very good. I felt like I drove the ball well for the most part. There was a couple of squirrely ones around the middle of the round. Distance control was really good. I think I started off really well. I had a lot of nice iron shots. But it's probably the best I've putted these greens in Abu Dhabi, probably in my whole career. I've shot some really good scores here, but I held some really good ones today, and I've always struggled to read them here. But I sort of got my eye in early and kept it going.
To soccer, Premier League champions Liverpool will host struggling Burnley tonight. Joel Matip is likely to return as Liverpool need a victory to keep pace with the leaders. They have failed to win any of their last four top flight matches. Manager Jurgen Klopp says their current form is not the catastrophe that has been made out by some. He feels some of the reaction recently has been a bit over the top.
The world is a crazy place, not only because of the pandemic. It's because nobody has time anymore. In the moment, that's clear. After this last season, we didn't make steps forward. We really know that and we want to change that. But we have to change that by playing, not by talking.
A joint statement from FIFA and the six football confederations has reiterated that a closed European Super League would not receive support from any of them. It adds that any club or player involved in such a competition would not be allowed to compete in the World Cup, the Euros or any tournament organised by FIFA or the regional confederations. The major clubs in Europe have all been involved in Super League discussions. Manchester City striker Sergio Aguero has confirmed he's tested positive for COVID-19. Aguero posted that he'd been self-isolating after being identified as a close contact but then developed symptoms of his own. He was left out of City's 2-0 Premier League win against Aston Villa last night, and he's also set to miss this weekend's FA Cup tie against Cheltenham. In Gaelic games, Colm Cavanagh has left the door open on a return to the Tyrone panel ahead of the 2021 season, just 4 months after announcing his retirement from the inter-county game. Cavanagh's departure last September severed the final playing link to the county's most recent All-Ireland success in 2008. The 33-year-old has now admitted that with a short season looming and the change of management in the county that saw Brian Duher and Fergal Logan replace Mickey Hart, he's considering throwing his lot in with the county once more. He has said, "Unless something changes in my mind over the next few weeks, then I'll probably not see a return, but I wouldn't 100% rule it out at this stage." He has had discussions with the Tyrone management. Dublin's Michael Darragh McCauley has retired from senior inter-county football after a decade at the summit of the game. The Ballyboden St Enda's midfielder won 8 All-Ireland medals, was Footballer of the Year in 2013, won 10 Leinster Crowns, 5 National Leagues and picked up 2 All-Stars as well. In World Championship rallying at the end of day one of Raleigh Monte Carlo, the first round of the championship this year, Oit Tanak leads in his Hyundai by 3.3 seconds from Kelly Rovan Pera in the Toyota Yaris. Elvin Evans in the second Toyota sits third overall, with Terry Neuville in fourth, and then Sebastian Ogier, the defending drivers champion, fifth overall, some 16.9 seconds down on the leader Tanak. Finally, in cricket, Ireland have lost their first one-day international with Afghanistan by just 16 runs, chasing a target of 208. Ireland lost their first four batsmen for just 88 runs and ultimately just fell short. Afghanistan collect 10 World Cup Super League points and the sides will meet again this coming Sunday. That's your sport for today, Michaela. We'll be back with more as usual tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, there are calls for a pedestrian walking route from Conwall Graveyard and Letterkenny to be extended to New Mills Corn and Flax Mill. Local councillor Donal Mandy Kelly says the absence of a designated walking route has forced users of the popular road to use the hard shoulder instead, which he says has given rise to safety concerns. Donegal County Council has confirmed that a funding application will be submitted to the relevant department seeking funding for the development. Councillor Kelly says it would greatly enhance the route for the many people that use it.
It's a road that I travel every day, and I see the amount of people that's walking and running and cycling on the stretch of road. We have a great walking facility there from the Horror right out to Conwell. I think it would be a great facility to see this extended out as far as New Mills Corn and Flax.
The council has confirmed that they will submit an application for funding for this development. Do you see any issues with this?
They have agreed to submit an application for it. I don't see any issues with us. You know, I think it's something we should be looking into very seriously. You know, I think something similar to what's done from Letterkenny, Kilmacrenan there in the N56, the way that the pedestrian cycle lanes are in off the road. I do understand that we don't have the same space here from Conwell to New Mills, but I do think there's still enough adequate space for this facility to put in place.
And indeed, the route as well is used by many clubs throughout the town, so it would be beneficial.
Definitely beneficial. You have plenty of athletic clubs, the likes of 247, the Athlone Club, and you have Letterkenny Athletic Club and Letterkenny Cycling Club, and that's just to name a few. And absolutely great to see these clubs using this route. Plus, for me, implements even more for proper facilities we put in place. It's modal shift we need to be promoting here for these people. as nowadays people are big into their fitness and deserve a safe and adequate facilities to do so. There is talks already of a greenway to come out the banks of the River Swally, and I think if this facility was now put in place, it could be linked into it in the very near future.
And finally, Halfords has announced the closure of its Letterkenny store. In a statement, the retailer says, as announced last July, they were always planning to exit a small percentage of their stores, which includes the Letterkenny store in the Fort Retail Park. They say they are working hard to support all those affected and are hopeful of being able to offer them roles at alternative locations. Weather now cold this evening and tonight, with scattered showers turning wintry, especially over high ground. Lowest temperatures of minus 2 to plus 2 degrees, with frost developing and icy patches forming. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a South Donegal TD has warned an indefinite lockdown is on the cards unless Ireland can secure more doses of the vaccine. Mark McSharry has urged his government colleagues to break with the EU purchase system and try to get more doses directly from the companies involved. The HSE has confirmed that residential facilities similar to St Columbkills Village in Clonmany have been flagged to the National Task Force and will be prioritised in the COVID vaccine rollout very shortly. Questions have been raised as to why the facility is being excluded from the initial vaccine rollout. The Taoiseach has accused Sinn Féin of reheating an old political controversy and that the party's dull time will be better used by airing other issues. The release of internal Department of Health emails has shone the light again on last year's controversy involving Leo Varadkar leaking a GP contract to his friend Dr. Matthew O'Toole in April 2019. And the Agriculture Minister says the Brexit deal has been completely inequitable for Irish fisheries. On average, the sector will lose around 15% of its current quota by 2025, with a large amount to go this year. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the big take-up for the rollover of the GLOS scheme and what's been happening at the Donegal County Council Agricultural Committee, which met today. But first, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, has announced this week that what will be the fifth year of the Sheep Welfare Scheme will commence on the 1st of February. Existing participants in the scheme will be automatically enrolled in year five and will not need to take any action should they wish to remain in the scheme. Applications for participation in the fifth year of the scheme are also now being accepted from new entrants to sheep farming. Meanwhile, the closing date for the receipt of Stage 1 applications under the Farm Health, Safety and Wellbeing European Innovation Partnership is the 29th of January. Well, last year, Donegal County Council re-established a County Committee of Agriculture. It held its first meeting of 2021 earlier today. The Cathaoirleach of the committee is Councillor Liam Blaney. I've been speaking to him to find out more about the committee, what it does and who's on it. I began by putting it to him that its re-establishment has been seen as a positive step, even though it has no powers.
Yeah, well, I think it's great to see it back up and running again, Chris. It's been a long number of years now since there was an agriculture committee. It was in the way in the early 2000s. And although we have one up and going here in Donegal, we don't have any statutory rights to it. And it's something that we're going to be looking to take forward to the department and to the government, that they would be set up right around the whole country again, have statutory rights again. But it was, the Agriculture Committee was set up along with a few other committees in Donegal County Council after agreement between all the parties after the last County Council election and with senior management, that they would set up a number of these committees again. And thankfully, agriculture was one of them, and we got up and going again last year. And I think it's very important to the county. It's very important to a lot of the councillors themselves to get better informed of what exactly is. Some of them might have a lot of expertise in any one part of farming, but they're not really aware of everything and all the different sides of farming. So I think it's very informative for them as well.
Now, on the one hand... On the one hand, yeah, you've no real clout as such, but as you've also touched on there, it is a forum, and it is made up of a number of councillors. You also have a number of council officials, plus representatives from various farming organisations and others connected with the farming sector.
Yeah, it is a forum, as you say, and we don't have any real clout. But at the same time, we had one of the first, if not the first, meeting with an agriculture committee and the minister, Charlie McConlogue, late last year. And, you know, we might not have much clout, but we're lucky in one way. We have the minister and from our county, and he's going to attend our meetings a few times a year. So that's very important, first of all. Secondly, we have 9 councillors on it, and we have representatives from a number of farming organisations. We have the Irish Natural Hull Farmers Association. We have the Beef Plan Movement with the Irish Farmers Association. Representatives from Chagask, from the Reps and Glass Planners, from the Agri Consultants Association, the Irish Country Women's Association, the Irish Creamery Milk Supplier Association, the Irish Cattle and Sheep Breeder Association. So look, there's a good wide berth there of representatives as part of the committee as well. And from the few meetings we have had so far, a lot of very, very, very informative opinions and going about. And I think that most of the councillors, not all the councillors, find it very beneficial.
So
something we can take forward as well is to the minister, anything that we think that needs to come forward to the county council as well, can be raised there too.
So arising from these meetings, it informs councillors and people can get feedback. I take it in some cases we will see a follow-up in the form maybe of questions and motions at subsequent full council meetings.
Yeah, certainly. It will be able to follow up on the likes of that as well. And I think it's very, very important that we have met with the Minister for Agriculture. As well as that, today we agreed that we would look for the MEPs for this region to come to our next meeting, and we're going to work around them on a date that suits them to come to join us at a meeting. And they'll be able to bring some of our concerns, especially from the likes of Donegal, where it's so peripheral here up on the very northwest of the country, to Europe and give her layer of concerns on the table there to them.
And the number of meetings each year, it'll be what, 3 or 4?
It'll be, we agreed maybe 3 or 4. We're not stuck to that. We already have, this last 3 months, we've had 3 meetings. But probably every 2 or 3 months, I would say, expect that we will have these meetings.
And the topics that can come up can range from something at a very local level to Brexit and also things like, recently there was that Agriculture in Donegal 2020 report. And it's through reports like this as well that getting the information out to councillors, it can lead again to a follow-up in certain areas.
Certainly. And the expertise we have from some of the representatives of the different organisations there as well, the expertise that they have is very, very beneficial to everybody. And you talked about Brexit there, and Brexit was one of the things that was on the agenda today for today's meeting. And Donegal County Council is doing a lot of work as far as the county is concerned and as far as Brexit is concerned, but they have agreed to take on board different opinions there today and different points that was made there today at the meeting to take them on board as part of their document that they've drawn up to have discussed at governmental level again. And I think that's very, hopefully that will be down the years, be very beneficial to the county.
And many people may not be aware of all the work that the council does, in particular in sourcing and identifying new schemes with EU backing and potential source of revenue and projects. And, there's a message to be got out there.
Well, the council has set up a new team in there for the likes of that work, and it's only in early stages yet, but they're doing tremendous work on it, and I think through time we will see benefits to the county due to the great work that they're up there.
Now, you're the Cathaoirleach of this Agriculture Committee on Donegal County Council. Today's meeting, generally, what came out of it was, were people anxious about the months ahead because we're in pretty uncharted waters?
Well, they weren't as anxious as they were at their last meeting, Chris, because at the last meeting we were not sure what was going to happen as far as Brexit is concerned. I think it's a big relief to everybody that there has been a deal done. Maybe a deal done to everybody's liking, but there's a deal done. That's a lot better than a no deal. And one of the big things that fears of it is that was raised today is that 45% of beef exports go to the UK. And if for any small reason that through the trading agreements that's done with the UK, if there was a fallout over any other one, that maybe the UK could pull away. And as well as that, the cheap imports of beef that could be coming from other countries to Britain might reduce the demand for Irish beef, firstly, and the high standards of Irish beef, and they're afraid that the standards from other countries might not be as high. And secondly, it would maybe reduce the price that the British are willing to give the Irish for the beef. And there are serious concerns to the farmers, beef farmers, because they are struggling, as things is. A lot of farmers exiting the beef industry in this county, in this country.
And finally, Liam, important to point out, of course, that because the Agriculture Minister is from Donegal, I suppose that gives us an extra avenue to him. And it's great to have that contact. And as you've touched on there, it'll be important that the Agricultural Committee keeps in contact with him. And it's a two-way communication.
It is. And you know, thankfully, he came at a very short notice too when he was asked to meet with the Agriculture Committee. He's very much hands-on with what is going on in the county. Some of the things he's done recently are like the pilot VEP scheme for people that's either exited a EOS scheme or hadn't been in none of the environmental schemes. There's a pilot scheme for them. It's not fully drawn up yet, but it's in the process and it's not far away, I think, for them to join that, and for the rollover of the last scheme for the last one and the last two participants. The rollover, because of the CAP agreement, has not been agreed yet. That's rolled over into this year, as has the BDGP scheme. There's been funding for the National Reserve again for young farmers and new entrants into farming. The sheep welfare scheme, I think it was announced this last day or two, that has been continued this year again as well. And just as far as that last scheme is concerned, we're just made aware there today at the meeting that the rollover of last one and last two, the amount of farmers that is looking to participate again in this rollover, there's only five farmers in Donegal out of all the farmers that was in it that is not participating again in it. And that shows the level of demand that there is for these schemes in this county.
And that was Councillor Liam Blaney, who is the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council's Agriculture Committee. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, January the 21st. The death has taken place of Sandra Dickinson, née McGowan, late of Leigh Fair Park, Derry. Due to government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private to immediate family only. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to WHSCT, Altna Galvin Hospital, Care of Bradley and McLaughlin Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of John McCall, Red Bray, Narn Portnew. Removal from his residence on Saturday morning at 11:30 and arriving at St Connell's Church Kilcliny for 12 noon requiem mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the family home is private to family only and funeral mass is restricted to a maximum of 10 people. The death has taken place of Nan Gallagher, The Brook, Nay Breslin, Magumna, Ardra, Dr McCluskey Crest and formerly of Glenroe Glenties. Remains are reposing at Chauvelin's Funeral Home with removal this evening at 5:30, going to St Connell's Church Glenties for 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Funeral can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Due to HSE and government guidelines, funeral is private to family only. The death has taken place of Crawford Piper, 3 Chestnut Grove, Remelton, reposing at his home. Requiem mass in St Mary's Church, Remelton at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, followed by interment in Milford Cemetery. Rosary tonight at 8 o'clock in St Mary's Church, which can be viewed on the church webcam. Funeral mass will also be streamed live on the church webcam. In accordance with government regulations, the wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, with 10 people only permitted to the requiem mass. The death has occurred of Isabel Key, named Mortimer, Hazelview, Creve Smith, Letterkenny and formerly of Remelton. Service of Thanksgiving at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in Trinity Presbyterian Church, Main Street, Letterkenny, with committal afterwards in Gortley Graveyard. Service will be streamed live on the Trinity Presbyterian Facebook page. Family flowers only. Donations if desired to concern Care Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, service and committal are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. And the death has occurred of John McKinley, Arahira Fanad. John's remains will arrive at St Mary's Church, Fanavolti, at 6 o'clock this evening to repose overnight. Requiem Mass will be held tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to RSC Donal Residence Fund, care of any family member.